Baseball for MLB.com. Pitchers and catchers reporting soon. Tracy Ringles will be joining us here on the program. Always good to have the Hall of Famer on. Tracy, what's going on today?
Hey, just getting ready for spring training to start. Little excitement. Got the Super Bowl. Pretty nice Super Bowl, huh? Got it out of the way, and so now we start talking about spring training.
Now, I know you're not a big NFL guy, but did you enjoy what the product out on the field yesterday with the game?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I always kind of find interesting is we don't want to credit Brady and the Patriots for what they did. We want to blame it on Atlanta.
I agree completely. You know? What's been the most popular question I think I've heard today on Sports Talk Radio? Did the Patriots win it or did the Falcons lose it? And everybody's saying the Falcons choked. Well, when you're down 28-3, you got to have the perfect storm, and having Brady and Belichick on the other side certainly helps.
Yeah, I mean, one mistake and they're over with, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. Is you got to look at it and say, it doesn't matter what the other team did. The fact that they were able to put everything together and be able to pull it out like that, I mean, at some point you got to tip your hat. I mean, I think the NFL rule is pretty dumb on overtime, that one team may not even get to touch the ball.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I mean that's the way it is, and
oh, yeah.
To complain. I mean, I know you're not complaining about it, but you know, for fans to complain about it, I mean,
there's no way to change. But it is, you know, compared to the college rules on overtime, it's, you know, just, I mean, maybe you don't want to give it to them with a 25, but it is a stupid way to determine a game, and I really think they need to look at it. I'm not complaining about it. That's the way it is. That's the rules, but. It is. It's a dumb way to do it when the teams are tied at the end of the game.
You're talking about the championship game too.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's a regular season or an exhibition game. I mean, it's the ultimate championship game. I mean, it's sillier than the soccer kickout or whatever they call it.
How about this though? Because before college football got into overtime, you know, the world didn't end because college football had tie games in the regular season. Why not just have ties in the regular season and implement in the postseason so you have a winner play an actual quarter of football like you regularly would?
Just go 15 minutes and whoever's ahead at the end of that 15 minutes.
I know it's asking a lot, but you don't see a ton of overtime playoff games. You just don't.
No.
I mean, like they do in basketball where you play overtime.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, real quick.
Well, just have the same number of possessions. I mean, at least let the other team come back and answer.
Correct.
I was going to, real quickly before I forget, I gave your name and number to the person you asked me to.
Oh,
and
okay.
Asking great. That they call you. So if you get a call from Angie, it's not, you know, it's not a crank call.
I know you vote for Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. There's a lot of people kind of been out of shape that Terrell Owens did not make it for the NFL Hall of Fame, and I know you don't vote for that, but a lot of people pointed out to him being a bad teammate, him, you know, with some of his antics and things like that. I'm curious, with guys like Bonds, that, yes, they had the performance enhancement performance-enhancing drug issues, but he was well-known. He was a jerk, a bad teammate. What to you, I mean, is that a big reason? Do media members and such have that big of an axe to grind when guys treat him bad and such like that?
Steve Carlton got in the first ballot.
And he was difficult to handle?
Probably the most difficult guy in the history of professional sports.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can only speak for myself, but whether I like the guy personally or not has nothing to do with how good of a player he was.
I hear, you know, T.O., he's a bad teammate. That's why people didn't want him to get in, even though the numbers were there.
Yeah, the NFL Hall of Fame is such a political thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have a member from each city, a media member from each city, and they go in and they trade votes from one year to the next year. And if you don't have the right guy pushing your players, I mean, why do you think you know why it took Floyd Little to get in so long? Because the people that represented Denver never saw Floyd play. And I, you know, Montgomery and I are old enough. Floyd Little was the entire franchise. What he went through, the physical beatings and the focus that was on him, and for him to accomplish what he did for the length of time he did, was remarkable. And that it took so long for him to get into a Hall of Fame was really a sad statement of what the Hall of Fame was. But the Denver representative never pushed to get him in because he didn't know him.
You and I are old enough to remember when Y.A. Tittle played.
Yeah. We're old enough to remember when they had leather helmets.
Yeah, no face mask. Exactly. When real men played football.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of these snowflakes they got out there now.
Is that the popular word now, snowflakes? Is that, I mean,
yeah, that's the new, that's the new line.
The word snowflakes.
That reminds me, I've got a rant today, so.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Tracy, I'm glad we won't let you be subjected to said rant. We'll save that for some other point.
Yeah, you save it for 6:30.
When we're not even on?
Yeah.
I could go home and rant at my wife.
No, you couldn't. She wouldn't put up with it.
Exactly.
That's why you've got to do it on the air, because nobody can hang up on you on the air.
They can turn the radio off.
But he doesn't know that. He doesn't hear the click.
That's true. Well, it could be one collective.
If it's loud enough, I hear it. Okay, so how many days before the pitcher's catcher's report?
Eight.
8 days. Okay.
Yeah, early spring training this year because of the...
Baseball Classic.
WBC.
Yeah.
So they have to make sure everybody's in shape and ready to go.
What do you think about Jason Hamill going to Kansas City? It was kind of late... kind of a late move, right?
Yeah, you know, but you know what? Some of these worked out last year, if you look back at some of the things that happened late. I mean, guys kind of got stuck in the middle of nowhere. I mean, Ian Desmond's a great example, who the Rockies just picked up. So I think that, Hamill's... what happens is the agents are not doing as good of a job, necessarily, of understanding the full market. And so guys have a tendency to be kind of hanging around like a Napoli now and those guys. What you didn't look at was there was going to be a glut of one-dimensional power hitters on the open market. And so teams were able to be a little bit more selective. And I think with Hamels, you're looking at a guy he's got, on days that his stuff's working, he's an elite starter, but he's basically a fourth guy. And so teams are going to let things shake down and see what happened. And I think for the Royals, it was a great pickup. He's going to go pitch in a good pitcher's ballpark in a good environment. He's a great guy. He'll fit right in with that team very easily. I mean, he goes with the flow. He's not a problem at all. One of the really nice people. So I think it was a great move by the Royals.
Why didn't it work out for him in Colorado, do you think? In terms of the success that he's had since he's left. Again, I know it's not been overwhelming success, but he's been a better pitcher, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were days. I mean, this is just the type of guy he is. You know, when I was doing the post game, at one point he had a game where he just got knocked around, and they said, what about Hamels? And I go, he's a little girl with a curl. I mean, when he's good, he's really, really good. When he's not good, he doesn't know how to fight his way through those situations. And the biggest thing about being a successful pitcher isn't how good you can be. It's how much of a survivor you can be when you're not good. Because say you have a third of your games, you're on top of your game, a third of your games, you're on the bottom, and a third of the games in the middle. What's winning those games in the middle to count? So about 2 weeks later, he had a couple more good outings after they had a bad outing, and they go to him after, said, what happened? And he goes, well, it's kind of like Tracy Ringlesby was saying about me. There's just some days that I can't figure out what I'm trying to get done out there, and it's horrible. I got better stuff than that. I just have to learn how to focus and concentrate and get through those days. And I think that was part of his thing. It was part of the maturing, the starting to understand what he needed to do to get through it at those times. But, you know, when you can slot him in and say, hey, this is our fourth or fifth guy, that's a pretty good pitcher because he's going to be over 500. If he ever got consistency with his stuff, he would be moving way up the ladder in a hurry because on top of everything else, he's really a good person.
Always appreciate it, Tracy. We're getting closer to it with spring training starting, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a bunch.
All right, I got a trailer so I can hear the rant.
All right, thanks. See you around.
See you.